Okay, good evening, everyone. We are now on the third bracha of the Shemona Esrei at the Kadosh, and you can find that on page 102 in the art scrolls today. So let's read through the bracha, and we'll translate it, and then we'll piece by piece go through it. Ata Kadosh, you are holy, v'shimcha Kadosh, and your name is holy. Ukadoshim b'chol yoim, and holy ones, every day, Yadalu chasela, will praise you forever. Baruch ato Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Hakel HaKadosh, the holy God. This is the third bracha of the Shemona Esrei. Okay, so this is what we're going to concentrate on today. So we have to begin the discussion of this bracha with a question. And that is that when you read this bracha, we say, you Hashem are holy, your name is holy, and holy ones bless you every day, which would imply that because you Hashem are holy, and your name is holy, holy ones bless you. It all sounds like it works together. What's the explanation? What's the explanation behind the fact that because Hashem is holy and his name is holy, therefore, holy ones praise his name. And in order to be able to appreciate this idea, we have to understand what exactly is this concept of kadosh, of holy. Now, the word kadosh itself is generally meant to mean separate. So, for instance, the Torah tells us, kadoshim tiyu, you shall be holy. What does it mean to be holy? So it means, Rashi says in the Torah, it means be holy by separating from wrongful desires. But holy means to separate yourself from the material, from the mundane, from the physical. And there's a concept of being in a physical world and still being holy, in the sense that you could be in the physical world, but your life is not mundane and materialistic as the physical world itself would seemingly influence you to be. But somehow or another, you live within the material world, but you're still able to separate yourself from it. You're still able to raise yourself up above from it. That is what the word, this is what the word kadosh generally means. Now, Rabbi Kirzner, in this section, when he discussed this bracha, he begins with a very interesting concept from the Zohar, and it sounds very esoteric, but it's a very interesting. But it's a very interesting concept, and he says that there is one concept in which the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is described as Sovev Kol Alman. He encompasses all worlds. Sovev. He takes in, he's around all the worlds. He encompasses all the worlds. Worlds means the physical world we're in. We know that above the physical world, there's the world of the angels, there's the world of the souls, there's the worlds of different levels of angels. And we say there, Rabbeinu Shel Olam encompasses all worlds. He encompasses it. He's Seviv Kol Alman. He's around all the worlds. He encompasses everything. And then there's another description that he is memale kol almin. He fills all the worlds. So one is a description that he encompasses all the worlds, which sounds like he's out, which is an okay impression of he's outside of the worlds. And then you have another expression that he's memale kol almin. That means he fills all the worlds. So what does this mean? How do we rectify these two descriptions? And the answer is that we explain this in the sense that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, his essence, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself, so to speak, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's essence is beyond, is independent of this world. Of any of the worlds that God created, he's independent of those worlds because he created them. He existed before them. And his existence is an existence that's independent from anything else. That's what it means when it says that he is Seivev Kol Alman, that he encompasses all the worlds. He is an independent existence. The Ribbono Shel Olam is an independent. Hashem is an independent existence from the rest of the worlds, and all the worlds He encompasses because they all come from Him. But then there's also a concept that He is memale kol almin. He fills all the worlds. That means that within every world that Hashem has created, Hashem's existence manifests itself in that world. In whatever world you are in, whether it's our physical material world, whether it's the world of angels, He fills those worlds means that He manifests Himself. His existence can be comprehended. His being can be comprehended in those worlds. That means He fulfills them. His being can be comprehended in those worlds. That means that the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have the ability, although the Ribbono Shel Olam is Kaddish, he's way above our physical world in his essence. Nonetheless, He fills our world means that we're able to comprehend His existence within our world. Now, our world as human beings is a limited world. It's limited to time and space, because that's what we are as human beings. And although we're limited to time and space, within the parameters or the confines of time and space, we are able to comprehend His existence. His existence, we can see His existence in our world. We can comprehend His existence within our world. But again, it's a world that is really limited by time and space. And it's actually a world that lends itself to actually block our ability to see Hashem's existence. That's the way the physical world is. It's a camouflage. It actually has the ability to make us think that things are running without Him. But we have the ability, still within those confines, to get beyond that camouflage, to get beyond the smoke screen, and be able to see how the Ribbono Shel Olam exists and runs the world. Now, angels, on the other hand, have a very different perspective of the world. Because of Hashem, rather. Because they are not bound by time and space. They're angels. They're part of a different existence. They're part of a different world. And they're not confined to time and space. Which means that their ability to comprehend Hashem's existence is not limited to the same limitations that we have. Now again, there is no creation that can fully fathom and comprehend Hashem's essence as it really is. But when you're talking about an angel who doesn't live within the confines of time and space, the angel actually can comprehend Hashem's existence in a pure form. He has a closer comprehension of Hashem as Hashem is. We have to deal with the physical world that actually limits our ability to see Him. But we have the ability to see Him nonetheless within those limitations. The angel doesn't have those limitations, and therefore his ability to comprehend Hashem's existence is much purer, it's much clearer, it's closer to Hashem's true existence. At the same time, though, they can't really, from their vantage point, understand what's going on in this world because they're not here. So you've got the angels who clearly have a clearer comprehension of Hashem's existence, which is why there's a discussion, can an angel sin? Is an angel able to sin? So some learn that essentially maybe that some argue that an angel could actually sin, but God's existence is so clear to him that he would never do it. There's no point to him. He sees everything so clearly that there's no point of going against Hashem's existence because there's nothing really in his way to see Hashem or to comprehend Hashem, so to speak, not see, to comprehend Hashem. We, though, as human beings, we have those limitations, and we have limitations of time and space. Those limitations actually can block our ability to see Hashem's existence, but we have the ability to get beyond that, and if we get beyond that, we actually accomplish something that an angel could never accomplish. Because an angel never has to deal with that kind of situation. Okay, so now. One second. Now, when we go ahead and we describe Hashem as Kadosh, we say, Ata Kadosh, you are holy. Okay, that means that we are saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam that we understand that based on your essential existence, you're a Kaddish. You are removed. You are elevated. You're way above. You're aloof from this world in your existence. V'shimcha Kaddish. Your name is holy. Now, what does your name mean? We talk about Hashem's name. What are we referring to when we talk about Hashem's name? Hashem's name really means the way that we are able to comprehend Hashem in our world. We call Hashem merciful. We call Hashem kind. All the way that we describe the Rabbeinu Shalom, and we always describe the Rabbeinu Shalom in a way that, for instance, we talk about Hashem's outstretched arm, his strong hand. Hashem doesn't have a hand. Hashem is not a physical being to have a hand. But the point is that we owe our ability to comprehend Hashem is only within our, you know, physical perceptions. And therefore, we identify what we see of Hashem in our terms. We know that's not what he is, but we have to identify him in our terms because that's the only terms we have with what to identify him with. We have no other terms. And therefore, but Shimcha, so your name is holy, means to say that the way we perceive your actions, we perceive your holiness. And we're going to expand upon what that means. Okay? So that's Ata Kadosh. You are holy. We understand that you and your essential existence, Rabbeinu Shalom, you are holy. You are separated, aloof in the sense, not aloof. Well, see, aloof doesn't mean aloof in involvement, but in existence, in essential existence. You are Kadosh. You are raised above and separated from our physical world. And that was the concept of how the Rabbeinu Shalom encompasses everything. The Rabbeinu Shalom preceded everything. And even after the Rabbeinu Shalom created the world, his existence is still independent of the world that he created. Now, the angels, we know that when we have a minion, we say Kedusha, right? And when we say Kedusha, we say in the Kadesh Shimcha Ba'olam, we will sanctify your name in the world. Just as they sanctify your name in the heavens above. Okay? So we are going to proclaim Kedusha like the angels do. The angels proclaim Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And we do the same thing. And it's very interesting that the wording that we use in Kedusha is Kishem. We'll sanctify your name, Kishem, just as they sanctify. Isn't that an interesting word, just as? Really, we sanctify Hashem's name just as they do? One would think the angels, when they proclaim Hashem's holiness, they're proclaiming it at a much higher level than we are. So how do we say Kashem just as? How are we equivalent to them? But the equivalence is going to come from the fact, as we said before, we have to proclaim Hashem as being holy, holy, holy in a material world. Right? We have to deal with the challenges of the material world. Good, but it's a challenge. We are challenged by the material world. When we're able to, within the limitations of the material world, still proclaim holy, 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 we are just, our proclamation of Hashem's holiness is just like theirs. Just like theirs. They proclaim Hashem's Kodesh because they have no limitations. By from their vantage point, Hashem's holiness is clear. We don't have that same clarity. And if we're still able to proclaim Hashem as holy, then we're the same as them because we accomplish something that they don't. At the same time, the Medrash says that the Malachim cannot say Kedusha until we do. We have to go first. The question is, what does that mean exactly? What does that mean that we have to go first? So Rabbi Kirzner explains in the following way. And number one, although the angels do not live within our world, but they are Hashem's messengers, right? When Hashem wants something to happen within the world, he has the means by which he does it is through angels. That's the tradition that we have, whatever it means exactly. It doesn't mean the angels are independent in any way, but the means by which Hashem sends down his blessings or whatever he wants to send down to the world, how does it come to the world? It comes through angels. And the angels know that that's their job. Their job is to carry out Hashem, the mission that Hashem sends them to do in this world. Now, when they go ahead and they say Kaddish, right? They say Kaddish, 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 right? When they proclaim Hashem's holiness, They say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. Let's take a look inside by the Kedusha itself. Look on page 100. So it's on the bottom half of the page by Kedusha. And it says, and so let's read from the beginning. It's the bottom half of the page. Nekadesh Hashimcha ba'olam, we shall sanctify your name in this world. Keshem Shemakdishim Oisei Bishmei Rorim. Just as they sanctify it in the heaven above. They referring to the angels. Kakasivayad v'yecha, it is written by your prophet. V'karazeh elzeh v'amar, one angel will call another and say, Kadosh, 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 holy, 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 Hashem Tzivakais, is Hashem master of legions? Meloi chalaretz kavaydai, the whole world is filled with his glory. So, interestingly, when the angels are singing praise to Hashem, what do they talk about? The Aretz. They're talking about the Aretz. They're praising Hashem for the Aretz, which means they understand, right, that the purpose of everything is that Hashem's holiness should be manifest in the world, that his honor should be manifest in the world. So the way to break up, the way to break down, so to speak, this declaration, this praise that they say is Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. Hashem is holy, holy. Hashem is holier than the physical world. He's holier than the world of angels. He's holier than the higher worlds, the worlds above the angels. He is Kaddish. He is removed and higher than everything. Hashem Tzvakais. Hashem, which they call master, which they translate in the article as master of legions. Rabbi Kirzner says the legions that they are referring to here are the constellations. You know, we see a lot that the constellations, the stars in the sky, the constellations, are also a means by which Hashem runs the world. So they say Hashem is Kaddish, 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 far above everything. Hashem Tzvakais, he is the master of the legions. He is the master of the constellations, which means he is involved in the world. Which my understanding is, okay, he's involved in the world, but maybe it's kind of like from the outside. You know, he's running everything from the outside. Malay chalaretz kavaydai. No. His honor fills the entire world. The Rebbeinu Shalom is involved in the world, not just from the outside, so to speak. You know, he's from the outside. No one sees him from the inside. He's just running everything from the outside, but no one can see him if you're on the inside. No. Malay chalaretz kavaydai. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his honor. Hashem's involvement goes deep into the physical world itself, which means that in the physical world itself, the Rebbeinu Shalom's holiness is manifest. The existence of the Rebbeinu Shalom is manifest in the physical world. The comprehension of Hashem's being is manifest in the physical world. And that is what it means, Vlei Chalaretz Kavaydai. Even the angels, right, who have that, so to speak, higher vantage point of being able to comprehend the Rebbeinu Shalom, and their comprehension of him is so clear, there's nothing blocking that. But they still understand that the purpose of everything is that the Rebbeinu Shalom, who is so high and so separate from everything, because he preceded everything, he's independent from everything. Nonetheless, his existence is one of running the world and being manifest in the world. That's what it means, B'loi Chalaretz Kavaydai, his honor fills the entire earth. And the angels themselves are the ones that are saying that. Now, when we talk about that Hashem's holiness is manifest in the world, so what is the meaning of that? So Rabbi Kirzner goes back to Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov Avinu has his dream of the ladder, the famous dream of the ladder, where Yaakov is sleeping and he sees a vision. There's a ladder. The feet of the ladder are on the ground, are on earth. And where does the top of the ladder go? Which reaches Hashemayim, it reaches into the heavens. And the angels are going down, they're going up and they're coming down. So what is the meaning of this vision? So Mekirzer explains that number one, step number one in this vision is that Yaakov Avinu in this vision is seeing what is the purpose of this world. What is supposed to be happening in this world? What does Hashem want from us in this world? And the fact that he has the dream means that he is the one who comprehends it on the highest level. And Yaakov Avinu, actually, we know that each one of the Avos, each one of the patriarchs, represents a different mid, a different attribute. So Avraham is chesed, is kindness. Yitzchak is gevura. Yitzchak is strength, din, strict judgment. And Yaakov is emes. And Yaakov is truth. What does Yaakov's truth mean? So one way of Yaakov being the idea of Yaakov representing truth is Yaakov represents the study of Torah, because that's the source of all truth. Truth also means, also includes, and this is what lies in Torah too, of course, is that truth means that Yaakov Avinu has the truest understanding of what the world is about. Meaning, the world may appear to give one impression, but the truth is otherwise. The world may give an impression that it's not godly, that it's mundane, that it's physical, that it's not godly. Yaakov's midah of emes, Yaakov's midah of truth, which is the truth that comes from Torah study, his attribute of truth says that no, the truth is otherwise. The truth is that this physical world that may appear not to be godly, on the contrary, it is godly, and the whole purpose of the world is for it to be made godly, for us to be able to bring the comprehension of Hashem's being in this world. And how does that happen? That's going to happen because of, it can happen from contemplating all the different things that happens in the world, whether it's how the world runs in the sense of how it's created, whether we're talking about the physical world and the wonders of creation. But primarily what it means is that when we follow the will of Hashem in this world, that is where we are making Hashem's existence manifest in the world. When we bring Hashem's existence into the world, we bring Hashem's Kedusha, we bring Hashem's holiness, we bring Hashem's elevation above the mundane world, we bring that elevation into the world and we elevate the world. Because that is the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is to be Mekadesh Techomer, it's to be Mekadesh Techashmias, it's to sanctify the physical. That is what the purpose of that is what we are to do in this world. And sanctifying the physical means that we bring out the existence of Hashem in the world. Anytime we do a mitzvah and we're proclaiming Hashem exists, that is bringing Hashem into the world. And anytime we're supposed to use the world for His service. That means we're supposed to take this physical world and use it in His service. Means we say this physical world is about what? Is about seeing and knowing and living with the existence of Hashem in the world. Not looking at the Ribbono Shel Olam as something above the world and beyond. We live down here, we do our thing, and He's up there. And once a week we go to a service and we say, you know, we know you're up there, hi, but it has nothing to do with down here, right? That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be living in a way that we show that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in this world. Well, and his existence is manifest in this world, and his exaltedness is manifest in this world, and it exalts the world with that, and the world is exalted with that, and it's meant to be exalted with that. Now, so this is all what lied in the dream of the ladder, because what happens in the ladder? You've got angels that are coming down from Shemayim, from heaven to earth. Those are the angels who are carrying out Hashem's mission. When Hashem has a godly flow, a godly gift to bring down to the world, who brings it into the world? The angels bring it to the world. At the same time, there is also the part of the vision of the angels going up the ladder. What does that tell us? What does that mean? The angels going, they're from here and they're going up. So it means more than just like when they're done here, they go back up, because the Torah actually mentions how they're going up. First, it says Olam v'Yardim, going up and coming down, not coming down and going back up. So it's not just like, you know, this is just a cycle that they do, up and down, up and down. There's something itself, independent itself, of the angels going up. And the angels going up represents the idea that this world, the world below, is connected to the world above. And the angels that are going up the ladder from the world below to the heaven above means to say that from our part, from what we do on this world, we create connections to the world above. We have a connection. It's one connection. And actually, the more we actually connect ourselves to the above, what's the result of that? The angels come down the other way. That is, the more that we connect ourselves above, the more Hashem's gifts to us from above come down. But that is what the latter dream was meant to convey. It was meant to convey the fact that there is this intimate connection between our world and the world above. And that connection is the fact that we understand that our job is to elevate this world, connecting it to above. What means connecting it to above? It means bringing the Ribbono Shel Olam down into our world. And to understand that everything that we are given in this world is not independent from Hashem. On the contrary, it's all there to serve Hashem. And because our serving of Hashem is the way that we express that Hashem is intimately involved in our world. And when we do that, that is when we fill the world with Hashem's honor. That is how we sanctify the world. That's how we elevate the world. And that is our purpose. So the fact that the realization that everything that we have in life is meant to be used to serve Hashem. It's not meant to be used independently. It's all meant to be used in the service of Hashem. That is the way that we sanctify the world, which means that is the way that we express that Hashem's exaltedness is in this world itself. And when we do that, we elevate the world and we exalt the world. So therefore, before the angels can say Kaddish, 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 before the angels themselves can proclaim Hashem's holiness, Hashem Tzivakos, Hashem Melech Haaretz Kavodai, that Hashem is the Lord of the hosts, He is the master of the constellations, and His honor fills the world, they can't say that until we say that, until we commit to that, until we ourselves commit to say that Hashem is holy, and that the world is meant to be filled with His honor. When we commit to that, when we declare that we realize that, and we commit to that, then the angels can say it also. Because then the angels can come do their part that they're supposed to do in bringing that about. Because whatever Hashem is going to send down to this world, He's going to do through the angels. But the angels can't do it, or aren't able to do it, or can only do it according to how we recognize that. If we deserve it, how much we commit ourselves to do it. So when the angels are going to talk about that Hashem's honor fills the world, we have to declare that first. We have to commit ourselves to that first. And when we commit ourselves to that first, then the angels can proclaim it. And they can say, okay, we recognize that too, and we'll do our part for that. So this is what we're saying when we say the bracha of Ata Kadosh. We say, Ata Kadosh, you are holy. You are holy. Your essence, Hashem, is holy. Far high and above anything.
Up there.
Not up there. He's essentially removed and exalted from the world. He exists independently from the world. V'shim HaKadosh, your name is holy. The way that we see your actions, what do we see in those actions? We see holiness. We see Hashem's exaltedness. V'kadoshim echol yoyim aluch haselah, holy ones. We'll praise your name. Holy ones. Who are the holy ones? Us. We're the holy ones. The angels are also the holy ones. Maybe it means both. But it includes us. Because you're holy and your name is holy. Your existence is holy. Your involvement in the world is holy. We, the holy ones, we who commit ourselves to being holy, we who commit ourselves to having the world be a place that is dedicated to your service, and therefore meaning out your existence in the world, and therefore sanctifying and elevating it, we are the ones who will praise you every day. But that's the connection. The connection is that the Kadoshim, the holy ones, the ones who are committed to being holy in this world, and why are they committed to doing that? Because you are holy and your name is holy. That's you are holy. You are the exalted one. You are exalted above everything else. We are holy. We want to commit to being part of that exaltedness. We want to commit ourselves to bring that into the world and dedicating everything in our world to that exaltedness, so that everything in this world is holy. That everything in this world bespeaks your existence. And that's the Kadoshim that praise you every day.
And it seems, even though you're over there,
right,
and we're here over here, we not near anybody, but
yep.
We are able, through whatever we do, the right things and everything else, we permit that Hashem will send him down. His things will come into
it's
us.
More than just Hashem's things.
It will
Hashem, we can comprehend and we can experience Hashem's existence in this world.
Well, that's what
okay. Let's move on. Now, and the importance of all this, you know, essentially, it's a very important concept. You know, whenever we say this bracha, you are holy, your name is holy, holy ones praise you. You know, it sounds like something very esoteric and very like, what's got to do with us? And the answer is no. It has everything to do with us. We're not just talking about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and praising him. Oh, you are so high. You are so exalted. We're doing more than that. We are expressing that you, Hashem, are exalted and you, Hashem, are above everything. But that holiness has to be manifest in this world. That is the job. That's the mission. And therefore, Baruch Atah Hashem, bless you, Hashem, Hakel HaKadosh, the God who is holy. You, Hashem, are the source of our blessing, the God who is holy. The God who is holy means the God in that we live with in this world. You are a holy God. And that holy God that you are brings a holiness that has to be manifest in this world. And we dedicate ourselves to that. And we thank you for that. Because of the fact that we now have that connection to you, to that exaltedness and that holiness that you are. Now, I want to go ahead and just conclude with an interesting thought from the Chafetz Chaim. And this thought from the Chafetz Chaim is not related to the meaning of the bracha itself, but it's just an interesting idea that he brings out, that connects to Kedusha, that actually connects to our saying Kedusha. Because as we said, when we say Kedusha, we say in the Kaddish, Eshimcha Ba'olam, we sanctify your name just as the angels do. That means every day we act like angels. We come into davening, and we say, Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. We're taking on the mantles of angels, and we're doing the same thing that they do. And in some ways, we're doing something, as we said, even greater than they do. Because we have to do that in this world that presents all the challenges to it. But the Chafetz Chaim says like this. He says that every day, our actions contradict what we say in davening. He says, we come to davening every day. We say, we'll sanctify your name just as the angels, and we say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. We act like angels, right? We're angels. What happens after davening's over? No more angels, right? If somebody says something to us that we don't like, we get angry, right? We may start doing things at work that aren't so kosher. You know, maybe we'll start doing things on our phone that aren't so kosher, or certainly not angelic. You know, whatever it may be. The point is that we start the day, we're like angels, we're sanctified and like angels, right? After davening, boom, nice angel. No more angels anymore, okay? You come back from mincha, what are you going to do again? The Kaddish Hashem Chabaylam, we're going to sanctify your name like angels, we're being angels again. And after that,
back down.
So every day we're going through this roller coaster. We're angels, we're down, we're angels, we're down. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam would never be very happy. You can't say he's happy with that. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is not happy. Here you are. You're acting like angels. You're like Hashem's ministers, right? And then right after you finish proclaiming being like angels, what do? You start doing other things that are completely contradictory to that. He says it's similar to, he says, imagine if you had a person who was a minister of the king. Okay, it's very hard, these parables with kings, because we really don't have no idea what kings are and what monarchy is. Especially nowadays, when you got this prince that decided, you know, ice prince, you know, I don't want any of this stuff anymore. Just the money. But there is this concept that, you know, in the days when there were, you know, real kings, it was a very big privilege to be able to work for a king. Okay, so he says, imagine you have this person. He became a king's minister, right? But but at night, right? What does he do at night? What does he do at elf hours?
He goes dancing.
The Chafetz Chaim's mashal is he's a sewer cleaner. Okay. He cleans sewers. Yeah, but it's like in those days, you know, when you cleaned the sewers, you got like, you know, you got waist deep into it. Now the king, okay, in those days, right, the king would say, look, if you're my minister, right, you've got to carry the honor of the monarch wherever you are, right? You can't be the guy who people say, hey, look, there's the vice president, he's cleaning the sewer. You know, you can't do that. That's just not acceptable. She says, that's the same thing by the Rabbeinu Shlomo. You're being his angel, right? Kadosh, Kadosh, being his angel, and then you go knee deep in the sewers. I don't mean anything, you know. You know, you go knee deep in the sewers, and I mean the spiritual sewers. He says, if a person really appreciates what it means to serve the Rabbeinu Shlomo, that person understands that he can't keep switching personalities. He can't keep switching what he is. And on the contrary, he has to see himself as an angel. He has to see himself as the person who declares Hashem's Kedusha, who brings the Kedusha of Hashem into the world by dedicating his life to the world. And he says the problem is that people don't appreciate what it means to be an angel. They don't appreciate what it means to serve the Rabbeinu Shlomo. And the biggest impediment to that is the fact, he says, that we're so busy trying to make a livelihood. We're so busy taking care of our physical needs and the physical desires that, therefore, if that's what you're so busy with, you're not going to appreciate being a servant of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. But if a person can bring himself to do that, and when he says Kedusha every day by davening, he says, look, I'm being like an angel, then that has to give him the impetus and the motivation to understand that, you know, you can't be exactly the same way by davening. When you're outside of davening, everybody knows in shul you feel one way and out of shul you feel another way. That's the way it is. But at the same time, a person has to be able, even outside of shul, even outside of davening, to be able to carry that mantle of being Hashem's angel, being Hashem's servant, and dedicate everything he does in his life to Hashem, and at the very least not turn right away into doing the wrong things, and go through that roller coaster of angel, you know, down, up and down, but rather to appreciate what it means to be that angel, to appreciate to be that servant of Hashem, appreciate bringing Hashem's sanctity into the world, and being like the angels and proclaiming through our prayers and our deeds, Kaddish, 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 Hashem is holy, Hashem Tzvakais, Hashem the Lord of Hosts, Meloich Laretz Kavaydai, his glory fills the entire world.